What is going on, everybody? My name is Jay, and I'm here with my other two hosts, D-House and Mike, for episode one. Yes, episode one, not episode two. Of
Yay!
The Wild right. Wormhole. I hope you guys enjoyed the first episode. The zeroest episode.
It didn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Why are we even talking about it? Doesn't it
exist? Yeah. No. Let's move on.
That never happened.
All right. So, this week in Keyforge, we had Richard Garfield AMA. Me and Mike started what is a best of three. Well, it's not really a best of three. It's the final deck standing.
Mm-hmm. It's like a 3v3, like single deck elimination type of thing.
Yeah,
like,
there you go. And we started the Wild Wormhole YouTube channel. So if you haven't subscribed to that, go ahead and hit pause. Kiss your mama, and then go on YouTube, search up The Wild Wormhole, and hit subscribe. And we're going to be posting a lot of gameplay there. We're going to post me and Mike's best of three or 3v3 deck thing there.
Yeah, whatever we end up calling it.
Yep. We are on iTunes now. We're on, are we on Google Play yet?
We are on all the podcast platforms.
We're on everything, including YouTube. So go.
All of the things.
We're on all the things. So you have no reason not to listen to the best Keyforge podcast out there. Yes, the best.
I love the rivalry.
All right, guys. So let's go ahead and start this week's episode. The first thing we're going to talk about is that 3v3 matchup. So me and Mike, we took three. So TTS added six new decks. Six decks me and Mike haven't even taken a peek at. Half the cards we haven't even seen before. We got three random decks.
Love that.
Pitted them together, and whatever deck is the last one standing, or in this case, if Mike beats me 3-0, then all three of his decks. Whoever runs out of decks first loses. Is basically how it works. It's been super exciting so far.
Yeah, it's been super fun. Like, just playing a deck that I've never seen before has led to some just, like, really weird, wacky scenarios that just, like, I would never have seen coming. The downside to that is that, like, there were certain moments where I would just play, like, the direct counter to whatever Jay was doing, and he had no idea that that was even a possibility.
I was so pissed, dude. Oh, my God. All right, so...
I could totally tell how salty you were. It was so funny.
Now, are you spoiling it? Because, like, I want to watch these and not know what's happening.
No. It's
this video.
There's some good back and forth.
All right, so I guess we can't really talk about it that much then, huh?
Well, you can, but what'd you learn? Like, what, like, okay, so, like, you went in, brand new deck, didn't look through it, like, you discovered exactly as Richard Garfield talked about.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You had pure discovery.
Totally.
So, do you feel like you enjoyed the game more than playing the decks that you've been playing multiple times on TTS? Was that a different experience, or would you rather have known the deck really well and played it that way?
I would say it was probably more fun to kind of, like, play the deck for the first time, see cards for the first time, and like, what's really cool about it is, like, we played three games?
Yeah.
I played three completely different decks, and they all felt completely different, and while playing them, I was able to see the combos and the strategy and the mechanics of this deck that is unique to all the other ones, and that was really cool.
Totally. You're learning as you're playing, which is, like, one of the most fun things I've done in, in, like, card games. And, I mean, like, I'm the kind of person that's, like, super ADD anyway when it comes to, like, decks and, like in games where you have to deck build, like, I don't stay on one deck for very long because I get really bored really fast. So this is, like, perfect for me where I can just, like, literally open a deck that I've never seen before, play through it, and learn it that way. So it's, like... playing it and discovering it while I'm playing it is part of the fun, whereas like in deck building, it's like I know what my strategy is going into it, and like I'm just trying to tweak and optimize that strategy. Like like in these games, like I didn't even know like necessarily what my strategy or like what my overarching like sort of I guess motivation for the deck is, and that was super exciting, I think.
Yeah.
And did you guys discover anything about the houses that because it's new decks and maybe you saw some new cards? Did you
definitely
learn anything new about like houses or like the theme of houses or how like the mechanics of different houses play?
Totally.
Definitely Braumnar, because the first like five decks didn't have, there was only one Braumnar and it wasn't a good Braumnar deck. And then they, of these, I've played, I think, two. We've played at least two or three that had Braumnar in them.
Yeah.
And that that house is really awesome.
Yeah, it feels really strong. There's, like the creatures are super strong. There's so many, like, effects that just, like, deal damage to a bunch of creatures or, like, you know, destroy all undamaged creatures or damaged creatures. Or, like, there's so many sort of things that affect the board. And I think we're learning sort of how important the board actually is. Through these games specifically, that it just, it kind of flipped a switch and like I totally get that faction now.
Yeah,
that's cool.
And what's interesting is like even there's some decks that you don't have to have a board state at all.
Yeah,
while
yeah.
it's super important, but then your opponent just plays tons of monsters and gets to reap with them.
Yeah, and they
turn,
just like
reap.
Yeah, exactly. It's a like you can have a deck that does that, but then you have to have a deck with a lot of like board clears and stuff.
Yeah,
interesting.
Which exists, I'm sure. One other house that I think we've sort of been diving more into is Mars. Like
definitely.
the decks that we saw before didn't really have that many creatures. And I think I played two Mars decks. Today in our games, and that house is fun, man. It's like the types of effects that are on like the little Martian creatures, which there was one deck where like one turn I played like four Martians and all of them had elusive, but they were all like two or three health. And it's like one was when you reap or fight, you get to like you choose an opponent's creature and they capture one of their own amber.
Yeah.
And then another one that like readied one of my other Martians, so I could like force him to capture his own amber and then ready him again and force him to capture another one. Which just like the thematics behind that is so cool.
I'm
into it.
Mars had some really cool stuff too. For like one deck that I played had Logos and it had a ton of archiving, and it also had Mars, which there's, I don't know how many archiving cards there are in Mars, but this deck specifically had a lot of those archiving cards, so this deck was able to archive like crazy throughout the game. That was really interesting.
Yeah, like in the first episode I talked about like I want to love Mars. We just hadn't seen that many cards that were like blowing us away. And then ever since we recorded that episode, like more and more like cards are getting posted online. And I've seen a lot of really cool, really fun mechanics out of that house that I'm like, okay, you just got to get the right Mars deck, you know? So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I'm intrigued for sure.
Yeah. And then there was one game that I wasn't so happy about that I kind of got locked out of the game, which really sucked. So I'm not worried about that being an issue. I'm not worried about the game like, oh, it's a broken game or anything like that yet. But like that really sucked. So
yeah. It was definitely a bad situation. But like next time we play that matchup, like, I imagine that you would, play.
Yeah, it's one particular creature that did it to me, but it's a really strong creature. So it's like you do it to yourself if you do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so like you know, next time have to play it like when you also have the ability to get yourself out of that lockout, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, super. That was a really interesting game. Yeah, like everybody should go watch those because every one of those games had sort of like something in it that like we didn't expect to happen. Which was really cool.
So those will be up on the Wild Wormhole YouTube page.
That's right. And
shortly. So
whatever.
Yeah.
Mike goes through and edits all that crap.
I got a lot to edit through. I'll probably post like one a day. Starting tomorrow or the next day. So
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, so that was the 3v3 thing. Now let's go on ahead and move on into this Richard Garfield AMA off Reddit that I'm pretty sure he said he was doing this himself. This isn't a FFG official thing or anything like that. He was just, he was pretty adamant about that, right?
It's when Richard Garfield says he's going to do something, he can do anything he wants because he's Richard Garfield.
Pretty much. That's right. Basically. So we're going to go ahead and dive into some of these questions and see exactly what our thoughts are on his answers, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and go first. Let me find which one was one. This one was fine. So the question was, I know the game isn't even officially out, but what are your thoughts or inspirations regarding expansions? New houses, new mechanics, and is there a general idea for how often new sets would be released? That was the question. His answer was, I expect new houses and new mechanics, but would not want to see the old houses disappear, at least not permanently. We have a number of mechanics that we held off because they diluted the character of the first set of houses. Designing houses in this game is fun in a way designing a section of a power wheel is not a traditional TCG. With the TCG, you really want to isolate mechanics and make sure there is a very little bleed. But the nature of this game makes it so you can have, say, a few rare huge creatures or even a common huge creature in a particular house that is otherwise filled with small creatures, and the flavor of the house is mostly small but with some exceptions. It feels more like designing a character than separating mechanics into isolated pods. So, how do you even answer that question? He went around, I feel like he kind of went around backwards to answer that question.
Yeah. So, a new expansion every 2 months, guys.
yeah.
we'll never get that. But, I guess what sticks out to me in his answer is that he expects new house and new mechanics. By the way, they added the lore of each house to the rulebook online this week after we recorded. I have not read it. I need to get on there. But the very first line of it is essentially expect more houses and more to be added to the lore. Which, again, since they own the IP and they created it, they can do whatever the heck they want, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I really love the idea of, like, starting the game. It's like, okay, maybe, like, a Logo Shadows Sanctum deck is, like, clearly, like, just really strong in this set. And then more sets come out, and eventually, like, people are like, oh, Sanctum isn't as strong as this new thing. And then, and then Logos isn't as cool as this other new Amazon house. Or, but eventually, like, a new expansion comes out that, oh, crap, remember that Sanctum card? Yeah, that's in here now. Yeah. And then bring back Sanctum, and I don't know. I like that kind of idea to bring in new houses. None of them will disappear, but we'll see, like, it'll keep it fresh and exciting and new. So, yeah. I like it.
I think that brings up a kind of a question, which is, like, when new expansions get released, they could totally just reprint any number of cards that they wanted to of the houses that exist. Because, like, since you are never, mixing cards from expansions, like if they want to keep like certain staples, like if they want like Hunting Witch to be just in Brobnar always, they could totally do that, and I think like people would be fine with that rather than having to design like 50 brand new untamed cards. Not that they wouldn't necessarily do that, but it makes it really interesting. And like rotation becomes kind of interesting because it's like, because there's no deck building, rotation isn't really a problem. Like you can always play, like the older decks with the newer decks and still have theoretically like a similar experience between the two and not feel like you can't catch up on something because you don't have old cards. Because if you're playing, like your one deck, like you're only going to have cards from like that expansion anyway. So,
yep, I agree.
There's a lot there that I'm sure we will discover as,
there's so much left to really discover with this thing. And then like, future sets having cards from old sets and reprints and all that kind of stuff, and how you can make future sets more, even more unique by like randomly having a card from a previous set. And
like that. That's super exciting, right? Because it's like, like this set is like a bunch of new stuff plus like, like maybe you have this card that was in, three sets ago, but it's in a different faction now or something like that.
Yeah.
See that. Yeah, I have such conflict, and we sort of talked about this last time, but so, like part of this game makes me want to act like Mike does with Star Wars movies. He doesn't watch any. Yeah. He doesn't watch any trailers. He doesn't read any articles. Whereas, like, I eat it all up. I watch every trailer, everything, because I want to kind of know what's coming without knowing totally what's coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, but like, because of the discovery side of this game, like, there's so much a part of me, like, if a new set's announced, like, I like, almost don't want to see any of the new cards because I feel like, because there's no deck building in this game, it will be way more exciting to show up for the release and just. Everybody gets a new deck, and you just sit down and play, and crazy random things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just so conflicted. I don't know.
It makes it hard to podcast about the game, slightly.
Yeah, it does. But especially with people that don't want to know it, so like they might not want to listen to podcasts because they want to learn everything.
That's interesting. Like, legitimately, maybe we should, like, you know,
make it a non-spoiler kind of thing.
Yeah,
like impossible.
Right, right. Or like at least to a certain extent, like maybe we should like warn people of, you know, like spoilers to a certain degree. If any of you guys out there have like thoughts on that, let us know and we'll.
I just
feel
like they
wouldn't
listen to a podcast about the game if they're trying to go spoiler free.
That is fair. That is fair.
Yeah.
Or we could just do a podcast about the deck names. I would totally do that.
It would definitely be entertaining.
All right, so that was my question. Mike, let's go ahead and head on over to your question and see what you got.
All right, so the question that I found most interesting that I picked out is this. The question was, I have loved the designs you've done over the years. Lots of thematic and immersive cards that do things that feel like they should. What are your favorite thematic design in Keyforge? What card felt the most like what it should do? And Richard's response was the Common Cold, which is a card that does one damage to all creatures, and you may destroy all Martians, comes to mind, he says, which is awesome. It's like the Common Cold doesn't necessarily kill, like, you know, robots and, like, beasts, but it definitely kills Martians.
Yeah.
Especially if you've seen War of the World, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
So I think that's awesome. Another example that he gave was Gateway to Dis, which destroys all creatures. He says, just because the flavor of opening a gateway to this place is lethal enough to wipe the battlefield, which is super awesome. I love that, yeah. That's great. And then a pair of cards that me and Jay were actually talking about today on our video.
Yeah, we did, actually.
Yeah, so it's Lab Work and Sloppy Lab Work, which are fun. Lab Work is you archive a card, and you also get an amber when you play it. And then Sloppy Lab Work is you archive a card and discard a card, which Richard says, which sounds worse but isn't, which is like the conclusion, the exact conclusion that we came to. At first, I was like, oh, it's just Lab Work but worse. And then you discarded a Brobnar card, and I was like, oh, wait, no, it's better because you can discard cards that are not of that house. So super, super unique, interesting cards, very thematic. What are some cards that you guys have seen?
I'll go ahead and go
that,
first.
That you feel are thematic.
Mine I played and saw today for the first time. It's called the Crazy Killing Machine. This card is awesome. It's a Logos card, and the artwork is like this big, giant red button that's in like this glass case, like a doomsday device kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the effect isn't even that great. It's just the artwork and the name of the card is so sick. And then what it does is you flip over, you discard a card from the top of each player's deck, destroy a card of that house on both sides of the field. And if you aren't able to destroy two cards, you destroy what you can, and then you have to discard the Crazy Killing Machine. Which isn't even that great, but the theme of the card
is amazing.
Awesome.
it keeps going as long as it keeps killing.
So that's mine.
That's awesome. What about you, David?
It's not like super exciting, but I was thinking Regrowth with the Untamed House. because it's just like the whole idea of like Untamed, like massive amounts of creatures. Like kind of cheating their way out, I don't know. There's not a lot of, I feel like, recursion effects that I've seen so far, but I could be wrong because I haven't seen all the cards.
Trash.
The stupid witch is very recursion heavy and very good.
So you can regrowth. You get an amber for it, and then you get an untamed card. You play the untamed card from your discard pile.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it just feels like Untamed. Like, you can't control it. Just, you do whatever you want. And
yeah.
It's just wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regrowth was kind of
I'm on board with that. Yeah. All right. Well, for my card, I'm gonna cheese it up, and I'm gonna say Wild Wormhole is a pretty thematic
nice.
Card.
Nice.
It's it gives you an amber when you play it, and it just says simply play the top card of your deck, which can be anything. So it's yep. very like it brings that in. It's like you never know what you're gonna get. You never know what's gonna come out of this wormhole. Could be from any of the, you know, the three houses that are in your deck. Be whatever. So
yeah
I love it.
I like it too. That's a good one. Oh, that was a solid pick. D houses was lame, but yours was a good one.
I quit. Stupid podcast.
He's already done. He's going over to the Welcome to the Crucible.
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm not Mike. I don't just sell my soul to every podcast that will have me. I'm looking at my nice. I'm showing to the camera right now my paper cutouts of
Sweet.
The PDF right now.
Your nice
Sweet.
Proxies.
Yeah, this is how I'm like looking through it. It's really
Perfect.
Fancy. It's,
nice.
This is the life of a podcaster, I guess.
Real good. I like it. All right, we got one more question to go. D-House, go ahead and read out the one you picked.
No, you're probably going to say my question is stupid, too.
Probably. Probably
I mean,
the lamest.
If it's not, then it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right, the person asked, how will trading work as we scan
oh
decks?
Oh, my God. We're really worried about this.
Here we go. Oh, okay.
Being confirmed. Will trade be confirmed in-app, or will maybe the deck be locked to us after scanning? Also, what format do you consider primary, sealed, or bring your own deck? Richard's answer was this. I can't comment with certainty on how the app will work because I don't know what the timeline will be or how the mechanics will hash out. It could be that owning the code card is the same as owning the deck, but I don't know when or details. I know a lot of the ideas that have been talked about. So, no answer there.
of course.
That's to be expected, yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. It's Richard Garfield. He said, this is what's interesting to me. He said, I'm not sure what is primary, talking about the formats, but I hope both are played and enjoyable. I love playing a new deck, but I think it would be a shame if that was the way players usually played, because I think getting to know a deck and your opponents is a lot of fun as well. As far as tournaments go, I think both will happen. There's a lot of thought that has to go into bring your own deck, because you don't want a local scene dominated by one deck that's either too powerful or perceived to be too powerful. For playgroups, that's fine. You institute chains or bid for the decks, or if you're like me, try to gain glory by taking down a Titan with a lesser deck. For tournaments, though, I would expect a system where some decks level up and you have tournaments that are only first-time decks and some for level one decks, something like that. The OP team is aware of the issues and deciding what tools would bring the best.
That's
super actually
really interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Wow.
The level up system was
all
right. Like,
hold on. I accept this question. It's not lame.
Oh, thank goodness. I can sleep tonight.
Well, yeah,
that's
really
cool. Yeah, man. I love that. Like, a deck is doing too well, it, you know, then it has to then compete against decks that are in that same tier.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what we do already in you know, Star Wars Destiny, but in Star Wars Destiny, the rule is you have to play a tier one deck if you want to win. I mean, like, loosely, you don't have to, but in a lot of cases, that is at least what is perceived. So if they have just like, you know, like a tournament that's just tier one, then it's literal proven decks that are in that tier. And then it's like, they can have, you know, multiple levels where it's like, okay, this deck is crazy. Like, it beats everything level one, level two, level three. It's like a level four deck, and it's got to play against other level four decks.
Yeah.
Just like a way to play those decks on the same playing field is super awesome. I think that is such a cool
idea. The
only
issue that I have with this is that it kind of takes away from that new person is able to buy just one deck, come in and play, because then it's like if you have a level two tournament tonight and the guy comes in that wants to play a tournament and he buys a deck and he can't play, then that kind of sucks.
Okay, so how about this? Like, what if it was a level system where like there were a lot of levels, so it was like level 1 through 100, let's say, and like level one, like level 0 through 10 decks could be played in the same tournament, and then like level 10 through 20 decks could be played in the same tournament, and like every certain number of wins, like your deck levels up or something like that, and then like there's some kind of ratio that gives you like an ELO style thing, and then it gives you a more accurate like representation of like what you're doing. So yeah. theoretically, if someone comes in to a tournament and is playing against like level quote unquote like 1 through 10 decks in this example, if it's a brand new deck but it is better than them, because it's a brand new deck and like you don't know how to play it as well, maybe it kind of levels the playing field that way for a new deck.
Yeah.
And then as it wins, it kind of ranks up and gets to play against better decks. So I think something that could still work, even for people who are just going to come in with a new deck.
Yep. The only thing I'm thinking about, like, all of this is really cool, but, and I'm not trying to, like, harp on FFG, but historically, like, on the organized play side, we've seen a lot of great ideas that just didn't pan out. Like, yeah. I think in the L5R world, like, there's been a lot of, like, when they announced all this OP, we're like, oh my gosh, there's so much great stuff and unique story prizes and Hatamotos and all these things, and then it just sort of didn't happen. And I don't know if it's a personnel thing or whatever. I just, like, I love the idea. It's just like, can this be executed? Can they do something like, you know, Magic and Pokemon did with DCI back in the day?
Yeah.
Where, like, every tournament has to be recorded through this software. And so whether it's a local four-person tournament or Gen Con, you know, all the decks wins and losses, you know, essentially get
right, still feeding in, yeah,
the stuff. Like, if they could do that, if they could bring that DCI system, like, it would change so much.
Mm-hmm.
And because they own the system, man, like, I don't know, I feel like it'd be so worth it.
Yeah.
But it just requires that extra work from them and the app usage. I mean, we'll see. I'm cautiously hopeful,
yeah,
not optimistic.
That's fair. That is fair.
And still with that level tier system thing, I feel like it'd be really difficult even if it's a larger number, because it's like you have to have a lot of people to where you can be like, we're running a level 1 and a level 2 deck tonight.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Right.
So,
but at like Worlds and Gen Con, they could do,
it'd be perfect. Yeah.
Crazy side events where it's like level 3 decks only.
Yeah.
You know, and you show up
if
to win the
level 3
tournament.
If you have a bunch of people, it works out perfect.
And like, you know what? Like maybe like the premier level events are like the level 1 or level 0 tournaments, and then like the sort of, you know, crazier stuff is more like in Magic there's a format called Legacy, which is basically like every card in Magic. And it's a way more powerful format where like you can, you know, do crazy things, potentially win on like turn one. But that's not the main format that people play. So there's potentially they could do something like that. I don't know. I mean, obviously I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if people would like that, but that is like a possibility.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you have it, folks. So I'm excited to find out to see what they do, because they said they're doing something to keep decks that happen to be better than others from being oppressive. So I'm excited to see what it is. And if they do something good enough, then it'll keep it from being like, all right, I'm going to pay a ton of money for this really good deck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
True.
All right, so that is the three questions we're going to go over today. We have one more segment. This segment is specially named. It is called King Potato. And basically, what King Potato is, every week we're going to say, you guys can send in your deck names once you start getting decks. Or if you already have decks, I hate you, send it to me. you can send in your deck names, and we'll pick a funny one for that week and say it. And that's what we're going to try to do for every podcast, at least when the game comes out. Right now, we might not get any names sent in to us because no one has any decks.
Oh, we'll find them.
We'll find them. But what we're going to try to do is say one funny deck name every week. And then for this first segment, we're going to do one that Richard Garfield said on the AMA. Someone asked, what is the best deck name you have come across so far? And he responded, here is a list of some cool names I generated. I can't say they will be generatable with the final algorithm, but FFG has been good about keeping the flavor I was after. The first one, there's a whole list of them. Do you guys want to say one, I'll say one, you say one, or you just want me to go through them all?
Yeah, you just go Go through all of them.
Yeah. It's just too good.
It's going to be better in your southern accent anyway.
Okay. I'll try to spice it up a little bit so it's more southern.
Put a little stank on it.
A little, what is it when you mustard, put a little mustard in it?
Yeah.
There you go. All
right.
Well, southern twang.
Dancing Grim Spit. Columbo the One-Eyed.
Columbo?
Columbo the One-Eyed. Clean Jack, in quotation, Flashbird. I like that one. Frantic Doc Martin.
I love that one so much.
Oh, wait, no, I said it wrong. Frantic Doc Martin.
I think that's what you said.
Oh, okay.
That's what you said.
Mouse Finger Gomez. What? Mouse Finger?
That one's one of my favorites.
It only would have been better if it was Stank Finger.
Yeah.
Vexing Munch Jelly.
Just sounds weird.
I like this one.
Yep.
The Annoying Town Idiot.
Yeah, that's the deck you play in Georgia.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Get Chris that deck.
She Who Squashes Angels. I'm not sure.
Brutal,
about that
one. Brutal.
That's rough. So you just squash the Sanctum House, pretty
that's
much.
That's like a metal band.
Yeah. The First She Bear. Nice. Hammer Olympia. Vega No Thumbs. Titus Gate Sledge, Eagle Mouseworm, and of course, King Potato.
Yes.
All right.
There we go.
Hey, I will buy King Potato if anyone gets that bag.
If anyone gets any of these.
Yeah. My favorite part of this game is 100% the deck name, so that's all I'm about. Just give me the King Potato.
Just the deck name. Need more deck names. Yep. Need more.
So how long is it gonna take? How long is it gonna take the music industry to discover KeyForge and take all their
right
from deck names?
Vexing Munch Jelly.
Do you guys watch Parks and Rec?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So like when Andy's like naming the band and he changes it like every week.
Yeah.
He's like Mouse Rat. Rat Mouse.
Rat Mouse. Yeah.
Like,
Mouse Rat.
Vexing Munch Jelly.
Vexing Munch Jelly. I like Columbo and the One-Eyed.
Yep.
All right.
Too good, man.
There you go, guys. So that is our episode one.
We did it.
This episode does exist.
This one does exist. This is a real. This is not an episode. This exists. Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to the Richard Garfield AMA. Talked about the 3v3 Mike versus Jay and the King Potato segment. So send in deck names if you have any already, and we'll pick a funny one to do next week. Lastly, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all the Wild Wormhole. And then we're on all of the podcast sites now, Google Play and Apple, iTunes, all of that junk, all those shenanigans. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We're gonna have a Patreon up soon, so keep an eye out for that whenever that gets confirmed. And just keep it classy. Wear tuxedos,
San Diego.
Yep, keep it classy, San Diego. As always, we'll catch you guys in the next video or podcast.
Mouse Rat out.
Bye, guys.